Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network on this Tuesday, September the 1st. We thank you for joining us here on AFR. Fred Jackson in studio with me. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be here with you.
And let's see, we've got Chris Woodward. We've stuck him in Studio Venus.
Yes. Hello from long distance caller.
Fred and I are together today in studio, and Chris is, 50 yards away.
I'm in another zip code.
Just in case he coughs or sneezes. All right, so Sandy Rios will be with us in studio.
Yeah.
She'll be here with us. She's here on campus.
Live and direct.
Today, so we look forward to visiting with Sandy coming up at the bottom of the hour, and then Steve Jordahl will be with us an hour from now.
And, Tim, before we go any further.
Yes.
In Ed's absence.
Yes.
I need to send condolences to all Boston Bruins fans.
Yeah.
They went down to defeat last night.
Well.
Their season is done. It's a tough day.
It may not be a coincidence that Ed said he couldn't come into work this morning.
He did refer. He did say we last week when he was talking about the Boston faithful. So.
Yeah, fans of teams say we when they win. When fans of teams and that team loses, then it's they.
Yeah.
They lost.
They lost.
But we won. You had something to do with it. The NHL season is continuing in this.
Yeah, another probably two or three weeks should wrap up.
Yeah.
The 19-20 season and then the
2020.
Well, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The 2020-21 season is scheduled to start in December.
I thought you had slipped back. I don't know what I thought. 100 years, Fred. I thought you pulled a Joe Biden on us.
There you go. Oh, no, I hope not.
We're going to play a clip a little bit later on of Brother Joe.
The latest.
In his greatest hits collection. We're going to have to add this one, too. I don't know. He's going to have a volume, too.
Oh, my.
I think, of his greatest hits. All right, lots to talk about today. We thank
Indeed.
You for listening. If you'd like to join us on, as Ed calls it, their internet, all you need to do is go to YouTube or Facebook, and you can. We're live video streaming the show today, as we do every day. Mm-hmm. So just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube and follow us there. We're going to also post the stories on our Facebook page that we discuss here so you can have them and read them for yourself. All right, Chris.
President Trump today is going to be in the headlines for a number of things, including his visit today to Kenosha, Wisconsin. That's the one of the scenes in America where we've seen a lot of violent protests, just outright violence with rioting and looting, burning, things of that nature. A lot of Democrats, including the Wisconsin governor, do not want the president in Wisconsin. They seem to think that his rhetoric is responsible for things like police-involved shootings. In Kenosha's case, the police-involved shooting of a man named Jacob Blake. But the White House says Trump is expected to review property damage, maybe speak with some business owners, also have some meetings or face-to-face gatherings with members of law enforcement, because as the administration tried to share with millions of Americans last week, the administration is about law and order and wants to make this November election about law and order. Speaking of the election and Joe Biden, we do have some sound here from the Democratic presidential nominee. He's accusing President Trump and saying, "You're the reason for the violence, Mr. President." Clip four.
He may believe mouthing the words law and order makes him strong, but his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is. Does anyone believe there'll be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected?
He's a weak person. He's been weak all his life, but now he's really weak. Don't forget, Biden wasn't going to come out of his basement until the election. Now he had to because the polls are so good. For me, now he had to because the polls are different.
Now, a lot of people did pick up on this yesterday on social media, specifically after Vice President's appearance in Pittsburgh to talk about the violence in Wisconsin. saying, you know, Biden was just merely trying to score some cool points with voters after a successful RNC convention that did feature a number of people, including Democrats. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm a little confused by the former Vice President Joe Biden. He seemed to be saying, Chris and Tim, that it is the president's fault that we have this violence mm-hmm. because the president is encouraging, I'm not sure if he used the term white nationalists, to come out.
Armed militias.
Mm-hmm. Armed militia. It's the president who has encouraged them to come out. Yeah. Well, can we talk about Portland? Can we talk about Seattle? Can we talk about Kenosha?
Chicago.
And deal at Chicago. Can we deal with the facts for a moment?
Yeah.
People
aren't buying this one.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're not buying this. This is Johnny come lately, mm-hmm. Joe come lately, on condemning violence and acknowledging that these riots are going on and that that people are feeling more unsafe mm-hmm. and violence is going up across the board, especially in your large cities in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the Biden campaign decided, what can we do? We really don't want to talk about it, but if we do talk about it, let's blame it on Trump.
Right.
That's what they decided to do. And
I know.
I just think they need a different strategy. I'm being objective here. I don't think people are. You haven't said anything about it all summer, and mm-hmm. now all of a sudden you were going to say what's happening is President Trump's fault.
Well, to your point, Tim, Donald Trump Jr. was right. on Fox and Friends this morning, and he pointed out the week before last when the DNC had their convention, mm-hmm. speaker after speaker after speaker mm-hmm. had the opportunity to condemn the violence in these Democrat-controlled cities. Not a peep. Here's what Don Jr. had to say. Cut to.
I think the American people see through it. They watched the DNC, you know, that never-ending I Hate America Zoom call for 1 week, and not one person, not one of the hundreds of people that they had speaking there, all Democrats, even mentioned it. Now, the day after CNN, Andrew Cuomo, and Don Lemon start saying, oh, you know, it's hurting these guys, they got to do something, that's when Joe decides to come out of his basement for a few seconds. He saw his shadow, he's going back in. But even the statement he put out the other day, well, you know, we should do something, I'll come out of the basement in 10 days. Is he going to run the country from the basement if he wins?
You know, I think some good points there made by the president's son, Don Jr. The thing is, now I don't know how much this will matter to the voters in November, and
right.
a lot can happen between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Biden does not have the energy.
No.
He's not demonstrating leadership. You have to have physical
mm-hmm.
and mental energy, obviously, to be 24/7 the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, regardless of your ideology or your political affiliation, you still have to have the physical and mental capabilities to and stamina. And Joe Biden is just not cutting it. Again, I don't know how much that will hurt him because a lot of people don't like the president, President Trump, and they're going to vote for him, going to vote for whoever it is. It could be an inanimate object. And they would vote for a ham sandwich over President Trump. A lot of people in our country feel that way. But with the middle, maybe undecided independents, maybe even some Democrats, they may say, you know, I'm going to stick with Trump rather than vote for a fellow who's not there
yeah.
altogether.
Well, I think there is a growing fear in America as we see more and more of this rioting and more of the anti-police movement that's out there, that's scaring a lot of people. And like you
yeah.
talk about the independents, and I'm not sure if on yesterday's program we played that montage of people calling in to C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they confessed they were former Democrats, have always voted yeah. Democrat, but not this time.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
The president's right, safety and security. I saw him last night on Laura Ingraham. By the way, Joe Biden, for evidence for what I said about his lack of mental and physical stamina and his ability to speak to the public, he's reading scripts now from speeches. Now, all politicians do that, mm-hmm. including President Trump. But what Joe Biden fails to do is sit down with a a tough question questioner. For example, he won't sit down with Chris Wallace as the president did for 1 hour one-on-one.
That's right.
One-on-one, no script,
mm-hmm.
no notes, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
President last night went on with Laura Ingraham. I saw most of that mm-hmm. on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't, she's doing some tough, mm-hmm. questions, I thought.
Sure.
And obviously she's a fan
mm-hmm.
of the president's, but she threw him some tough questions that people want answers to. And Joe Biden won't do that.
Nope.
If you can't do that, you're not, you need to pick, they need to pick somebody else who can.
That kind of happened last week.
Yeah.
Because in the midst of the Republican convention, he didn't come out to make a speech. He sent Kamala Harris
right. yeah.
out to speak for him.
By the way, she's just my opinion, she is a pretty weak speaker.
Oh, she is.
She sounds like a librarian at about 3:30 in the afternoon
yeah.
at school.
Drones.
I mean, she is, I don't know why he picked her, because they were going to win, the Democrats were going to win California anyway.
Yeah.
She's a senator from California. I didn't, and her, if you're saying appeal to the African-American women, her family heritage is Indian and Jamaican,
yes.
not mm-hmm. American. Black.
No.
So that really wasn't, I don't know. I really don't know why he selected her if you wanted to add to your ticket, add to your numbers, but maybe he knew her better than he did anybody else. Back to the point about the president mm-hmm. going to Kenosha today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting to see what he says, where he goes, and what he does.
Yeah, I think Chris pointed this out. He plans to go and meet with some of the business people who lost their businesses because of the rioters. He's going to meet with police. He won't be meeting with the mayor because the mayor of Kenosha, who I think is a Democrat,
right.
doesn't want him there. Of course, the governor doesn't want him there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's going to go, and his purpose is to meet with the people hurt by all of this. And that, quite frankly, is a winning strategy.
Yeah. I tell you, another thing, Chris and Fred, in a general, I'm speaking generally here now, but if a significant percentage of our fellow Americans turn on the police and law and order, and they start justifying fighting with the police, mm. or in the case of the fellow there in Kenosha who got shot, mm. wrestling with the police.
Right.
There was a report that the fellow who got shot in Kenosha had headlocked one of the officers.
Yeah, there have been a lot of reports about how he was resisting, or maybe he was carrying something and they didn't know what.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, there's no, if you say it's okay to resist arrest under some circumstances, or to smart off, you know, to threaten the cops, mm-hmm. to not obey commands. If you say that's okay, you better be ready for the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Because and that's a dangerous path for people in our country to take. We were all taught, weren't we all? Most mm-hmm. I guarantee almost everyone listening
right.
mm-hmm.
to my program today, black, white, brown, yellow, whatever. We were all taught as kids and coming up, you obey when the police, if they stop you for a traffic ticket or for any reason, you do what they say. You comply. Mm. Yes, sir. Mm. No, sir. They say put your hands up. You put your hand, you do right. what they tell you to do. Now, if you got an issue with how you were treated by the police or the cops or the highway patrol or whatever, then you file a complaint at the court or mm. with the police sure. or with your local politicians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give a license, as I hear these Black Lives Matters folks, some of them, and that doing, they're saying no. You fight back against mm-hmm. the cops. Well, that's going to be bloody, and
yep.
that's going to lead to mm-hmm. Chaos across mm-hmm. the land. I think a lot of voters are seeing, you know, you can critique the police, and police are human. They're going to make mistakes here and there. But if you just start saying that gives license to openly defy the cops,
yeah,
and the consequences of that are total chaos.
It's anarchy.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are saying, we're seeing the the beginnings of that in America. And if we continue down this path, it's only going to get worse.
Well, and you add to that the videos that we keep seeing almost every week. I saw a video last week of an elderly woman in her 80s, I think, who was attacked. Guy just to grab her purse, knocks her down.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing these videos, and now there's this new video out of a guy just walking down the street, and some guy walks up behind and hits him in the head with a brick.
Oh, it's happening more and more in these big cities, too.
Yeah.
They're very dangerous place. Now, not all parts of big cities, but broad daylight yesterday in New York on the subway platform, a fella tried to rape a woman in broad daylight. Did you remember seeing this? Huh? So these criminals are becoming more emboldened.
Right.
Yes.
Because they know the cops are under siege.
Yes.
The cops are under siege by left-wing politicians.
Yes.
So when you have, and others, and the media, and when you have that happening, Chris, then you're going to see more and more violent crime, even out in the open.
Yeah, and a lot of people have warned it's going to start spreading into the suburbs, and, you know, after it continues, really, in the big cities. Talking about all this, kind of looping back to what we were talking about with the administration saying that the Biden campaign doesn't really want to talk about these things. It's only doing it now because it feels it's forced to. The White House got into that yesterday during a press briefing. And White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany chided the press and Democratic politicians only now tackling law and order. Clip 8.
And it's so interesting to me to see Democrats who once disparaged, who ignored the violence, I should say, all of a sudden caring about it. But let's not forget what they said previously. Speaker Nancy Pelosi downplaying the violence rocking U.S. cities, ignorantly saying people will do what they do. Jerry Nadler, when asked about Antifa, he said that was a myth that's being spread around Washington, D.C. It's not a myth. In fact, an Antifa individual took the life of an innocent Trump supporter in Portland. You have Rep. Ayanna Pressley saying that she wanted unrest in the streets. Chris Cuomo saying, show me where it says protesters are supposed to be peaceful. I'll give you an idea, Chris. It's the Constitution. Don Lemon saying, quote, the rioting has to stop, Chris, as you know, and I know. It's showing up in the polls. It's showing up in the focus groups. It's the only thing right now that's sticking. So now, all of a sudden, 90 days later, I, from this podium, have talked about law and order. The president has talked about law and order repeatedly. But because the polling has shifted, now it's time for the Democrats to deny what they said previously and all of a sudden focus on law and order. I'll leave you with this. That's like the arsonist blaming the firefighter.
And, you know, many of those examples she just gave were in the last few weeks or months, if you want to go back that far. But really, remember 2 years ago, this past June, as a matter of fact, Representative Maxine Waters encouraged people to harass Trump supporters and members of the administration, saying we need to get up in their faces
And confront them.
So this is nothing new, what she just laid out. She just gave a few examples.
I tell you what, these left-wing politicians are reaping what they have sown. And to add to this, the governor of Oregon, Governor Kate Brown, trying to stop the violence, day 90 in Portland, Oregon. She went out and she said, I'd like the sheriffs from some surrounding counties to come in and kind of bolster our police department. They need help. You know what those sheriffs said? We're not going there.
Call the mayor.
Yeah, call the mayor. We're not going there because here's what's happening on a regular basis in Portland. Some people get arrested. They're out within an hour. They get arrested again.
Right.
They're out within an hour. These sheriffs are saying, I'm not going to send my people into that mess.
No.
So, governor, find somebody else. This is the same governor that doesn't want any National Guard troops to help out.
Also in Portland last night, these are rioters in day, what is it?
90 at least.
I guess there's several hundred of them that are doing these nightly riots and protests and burnings and looting and all kinds of demonstrations. They went to the mayor's condo, his apartment, and had their buyers lit outside of his. They didn't burn down his condo,
right?
But it was a very intimidating scene. Mm-hmm. And this is the progressive quote mayor, the appeaser, the guy who hasn't done anything to stop these in these nightly riots and protests. And now they're at his apartment complex.
Yeah.
Even though he went on a tirade against Trump just 48 hours ago, Mayor Wheeler, remember he said,
yeah,
you're to blame, President Trump. So what thanks does he get? They show up at his house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I quite frankly, of course, that's a different mentality that I don't understand. That is the, quote, progressive mentality of allowing these protests and demonstrations and riots to continue night after night after night after night. I saw the governor, this lady governor out in Oregon.
Brown,
she was saying, my job is to our top priority is to keep people safe.
Yeah.
that was what she, it's like a total disconnect. And quite frankly, I don't understand. It's a attitude of appeasement.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way these progressives think. We need to let these people do their rioting and their demonstrations and their marches and their shutdown of city blocks or whatever, because they have legitimate grievances
mm-hmm.
that need to be heard, and therefore we're not going to do anything to stop them.
Right.
That's the mentality of the secular progressive mayor
mm-hmm.
in both in Seattle and in Portland. You're seeing this, and in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to blame the citizens of Portland
mm-hmm.
ultimately, because they vote these people in.
Yes.
Because they too mm-hmm. are, quote, progressive in their thinking.
Yeah.
And so if you wonder, well, why hasn't the mayor of Seattle or the mayor of Portland, after all these months, been recalled? Or had there been an uprising of citizenry protesting lack of leadership in their city? I can only deduct that the people in Portland, like in Seattle, agree with the demonstrators. Or they're too coward.
Right. You don't want to be that guy.
They're too intimidated to speak up, mm-hmm. lest they become the target.
Yeah, and
that's kind of a gang mentality.
And these people probably live in the suburbs of Portland
and aren't affected yet.
Right. They don't own the businesses right. downtown
that's
that
true.
Have been destroyed.
That could be a good point.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you would think trying to recruit new businesses to come to Oregon or the state of Washington right now is the toughest yeah. job on the planet.
If yeah. I personally lived in those areas, I would have already packed up the family and gone somewhere else in the country and just taken the foreclosure or come what may. Like, it's yeah. not that big of a deal.
These riots, these demonstrations, they're not happening in red states.
No.
Now, you'll find peaceful demonstrations in red states, but you're not having... You're not going to have these kinds of things go on and on and on and on. There'll be a crackdown.
Yes.
That's why they're not coming to red states, mm-hmm. I don't think. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Sandy Rios will join us in just a couple of minutes after the break.
Right.
Again, the president is he arrived yet in Kenosha? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I can look.
Yeah. He's going to be in Kenosha, Wisconsin today. And the president is correct, and the Joe Biden's actions prove it. The polls are being affected by the chaos that people are seeing nightly on their television screens, and the safety and security, our law and order issue, is trending in favor of the president.
Mm-hmm.
So while Biden was leading, again, I always caveat this by saying if you believe the polls, Biden was leading fairly handily a month ago in a lot of these polls. Yeah. Now they're closing and getting close to being even. And in some cases, some polls are showing the president up in some of these swing states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be there around noon Kenosha time.
He's on the ground, I think. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
There are wicked people who capitalize and take advantage of the passionate yet misinformed. You know, oftentimes within the Marxist rhetoric, they're described as useful idiots.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. In March, we're going on our annual trip to the Holy Land. And if you want to go with us, get the brochure or visit the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. We're going to go to Israel. We're going to go to Jerusalem. So much to see there. Bethlehem, the Dead Sea. We're going to the Jordan River, where we'll have a baptismal service. We're going to ride a boat on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to so many places you've read about your whole life in the Bible. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime. If you would like to come with us, again, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's in March, March 16th through the 24th. If you want a free brochure sent to your home, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Government leaders in California are continuing their crackdown on religious liberty. They have especially targeted Grace Community Church and Pastor John MacArthur. In recent days, the church has been on the receiving end of cease and desist orders, threats of legal action. Pastor MacArthur has been holding indoor church services in violation of the law. But so far, the courts have sided with the church. And now Los Angeles County has announced plans to terminate a 45-year lease on a parking lot the church uses. It's retaliation, folks. So look, on my website, I posted the telephone numbers and the email addresses of the Los Angeles County government leaders who targeted Grace Community Church. And I would encourage you to share that information with your fellow church members. It's time to stand up to the bullies. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier that before the break that the president was on the ground in Kenosha. Not yet. He's leaving, I guess it's Andrews Air Force Base on...
Yeah, correct.
Huh? On Air Force One.
Joint Base Andrews, right.
And he's headed to Kenosha, Wisconsin today to meet with some of the law enforcement.
Yeah, I don't know where he's landing. Kenosha is, I've been to Kenosha several times. My mom grew up near there in just across the border in Illinois. I don't know where he would land, but it would be somewhere nearby, obviously.
Wherever he wants.
Yeah, that's true. Main Street. Can you imagine? And then he just steps off the plane. We'll talk about that tomorrow if he does.
Yeah. We will. All right. Well, Sandy Rios is with us. Good morning, Sandy.
I'm really with you this time.
Yeah,
I Sandy, mean, this is really weird. I could actually see you.
I know. You usually join us remote.
Hey, could I just weigh in on Kenosha?
Yeah. Go.
That's close to Chicago. Mm-hmm. You'll probably fly into Chicago.
Your adopted hometown, right?
Yes. Adopted hometown.
I don't know why I didn't think of asking Sandy.
20 plus years. 25 years almost, but.
Where will he fly into? Do you know?
Is there an Air Force base
near there?
Military
base?
Great Lakes.
That's a naval
Lake
base.
Lake Station. Somewhere.
Hey, Chris, let Sandy finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Go ahead,
Sandy. I don't know where he'll fly in as president. I don't know. I'm just, the Chicago airports are close enough, but I don't, surely he wouldn't fly in now that I think about that.
You mean to like O'Hare or something like that?
Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
He'll find somewhere. They got something planned. Now, Chris, go ahead.
I'm at a loss for words. Back to you, Sandy.
And now I'm at a loss for words. This is going to be a boring show.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. It's probably an hour and a half flight.
He's going to land somewhere in the continental U.S. and travel by car.
Yeah. But he's going to – why do you think he's going there, Sandy, to Kenosha, Wisconsin?
Why?
I mean,
why
would it? There are places around the country that have had incidents like Kenosha. So I'm saying, why would he go there?
I can't answer that, Tim. I'd have to think more about it. But I guess probably because there's been so much
to show the country something.
Yes, and to see all the businesses burned. This is just like middle America. Kenosha's a nice little town.
Yeah.
And because there's been death there, murder, and there's been a police. Shooting, which it sounds like it may be justified based on what the police are saying and what the reports are saying. Still, it's caused so much upheaval that it's natural that a president would go. We've never questioned that before.
Right.
But now, and I also saw, I don't think the president is going there for political reasons because there are other places that he could go. And there are other things he could do to get more bang for his political buck, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But I think he is a compassionate person, and probably his heart goes out to what's happening there. And he really can't go to Portland. Portland's too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis is probably too dangerous. But Kenosha is probably a place that they can manage to keep him safe, and he can extend his sympathies and support for the people.
I think what you're going to see is he's going to meet with some of the business people who lost their businesses in the riots. He's going to meet with police. I think this is all part of what he believes in, and that's law and order.
Right.
And that's, a lot of people were skeptical about, okay, what's the thrust of the campaign? We saw it in the speech at the convention last week, law and order.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the country wants right now. The country, on top of the pandemic, is seeing their streets of their big cities being lit up by these rioters, by these domestic terrorists, is what they are. And they've had enough.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the polls are reflecting that. They're really, I would even go further, and Fred, I know you would not disagree. I would say they're revolutionaries. You know, the president was saying in an interview last night that there was a plane filled, I don't know how many, but there were lots of them on a plane coming from some unknown city, which he didn't divulge, dressed in uniform with equipment, coming to Washington.
Yeah.
He wasn't there with them. Other people observed that.
Mm-hmm.
And many people that I know, friends of mine, saw Black Lives Matter protesters get off elevators in luxury hotels in D.C. the morning after the horrible things that happened after the last night of the convention. So they are coming from other places. People are paying for this. And now we have to figure out who and why and how. What's happening?
Well, I think of we reported on this yesterday in Kenosha, of the 174 arrests made, the cars that these people were driving, 102 of the 174 were out of state.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the kid that that did the shooting, that shot three and killed two, the three that were shot, they have their rap sheets, their background is just amazing. Like one of them, I can't repeat his name, I can't remember without notes, but he's part of a revolutionary army of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
They all have criminal rap sheets and histories of carrying weapons, and one of them is a child sex offender. We have to remember that criminal justice reform, we've heard some good things about it during the convention, but they've also released from COVID and also criminal justice reform all kinds of criminals out into the streets, and we believe that a lot of them are out there. We have criminals out there in addition to the revolutionists.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Steve will be here in a few minutes. Chris.
Speaking of Steve, he just sent me a text message saying the president is going to be landing in Waukegan, Illinois.
Okay.
Which is nearby.
Yes. That's northwest suburbs, Waukegan. Okay. It's right on the lake.
Thank you, Steve.
yes, thank you, Steve. Sandy Rios is in studio with us. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, our ministry, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. A month ago, Sandy, I would have said Joe Biden would win. Today, I think it's 50-50 and trending toward President Trump. What do you think?
Oh, I think if there were an honest vote and a real election, President Trump would win. I really do think, based on all the things I'm reading, I read yesterday that a poll showing that he has 10% more of the black vote now. That's by some poll.
Right.
I also heard that Connecticut is closing up, and he's
Connecticut?
Only 2 point. Yeah, that the president is only behind by 2 points in Connecticut. That's a Fox poll. Fox was reporting it anyway.
That's a deep blue state.
And the Fox polls are not trustworthy. They usually show things in a less favorable light for the president. So all that makes me think that all things being equal and just common sense, because I think people are getting worried about what's going on. Problem is, as you well know, we have tremendous danger coming on the day of voting, because the left has been working on taking over elections for decades now. You may remember Norm Coleman's race against Al Franken in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats brought in an attorney. His name is familiar, but in this moment, again, I can't think of it. But he's the one who oversaw the so-called recount. So, you know, Norm Coleman won, and then they did a quote-unquote recount, and they found all these votes. Funny enough, they found all these votes and absentee ballots and all of this, and Norm Coleman ended up losing. And that was kind of a trial run. The attorney charged with running that election is now the one that's charged with overseeing the legal aspect for the Democrats in this coming presidential election. And they have spent millions of dollars. I understand they've spent $10 million in Pennsylvania alone. They've hired thousands of attorneys. They're going to go in and challenge I don't know about every single race, I wouldn't say that, but any important race. Enough races that they can now take it to the courts and win by hook or by crook, shall we say. And the Republicans don't have that kind of, we're not equipped, they're not equipped to do that. Mm-hmm. So they have just a smattering, a handful of people. Plus, we know that the Democrats are pushing, that you remember they penned this long piece of legislation about election reform. And one of it was all mail-in ballots, because you see, we're in all such danger, imminent death of COVID, that we can't go to the polls. Heaven, we can't do that. That would be dangerous. So we can't go in person, and they've got it all taken care of if we vote by mail. And so,
even though Dr. Fauci said you're good, we're good to go on voting person.
That was a month ago.
He's probably changed his mind
two or three times since then.
I was going to say that.
Well,
yeah.
He did say
it's
that.
It's Tuesday.
Though.
Give it until Friday,
right,
and then he'll tell us to wear goggles
while
we vote.
Yeah. These are the same people that go to Walmart on a regular basis,
sure,
but all of a sudden they can't go vote.
A Walmart that, by the way, is not enforcing its mask policy. They've actually said, after they said,
do
we
want
our customers to wear masks.
Do you want them to, Chris? Are you asking them to?
No, I'm just saying that, like, you know, you can go, you know, a ginormous retailer can announce a mask policy and then say, we're not going to enforce it. And people can go there, but they can't go to church and they can't vote in person. And you can burn a street, you know, and a building and all these other things, but you can't go to church.
Chris pretty wound up this morning.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's
had some dark roast coffee. It was good.
It's working.
Well, I just want to make the point to everyone listening.
Mm-hmm.
Vote in person. Yeah. Do not look, 10% of ballots on the best day possible get lost in the mail with no hanky-panky, nothing. And now the left has all of these ways. There was just a long article written by a guy who's been doing this for decades, and it was he was from New Jersey.
Yes.
And he spelled out I've not got time to tell you all the ways that they've figured out to corrupt the ballots. Don't send your ballot in. I know the Republican Party is making calls now and saying, you know, order your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't not vote,
go in person like you always do.
Go in person.
Yeah. That's a sure way to have your vote counted.
Right.
Yes.
And nothing done to your ballot.
And the only way President Trump can win is if the votes so overwhelmingly go in his favor that they cannot defraud enough people.
Yeah.
So,
you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, it's you know, we've had what, 50-50 elections now in this country for, what, since hanging Chad, since they performed?
Well, since actually Kennedy and Nixon in 60. That was a very close election, too.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is every single presidential election consecutively has been 50-50 since Bush v. Gore, I guess it was. You remember that. So it's going to be close again.
That was my first election I got to vote in.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Bush versus.
I was just a young whippersnapper, much less gray hair.
We were, too. We were just young whippersnappers.
But it's been 50-50. Of course, you know your blue and red states for the most part, and then you've got your about 10 swing states that everybody looks to. Go ahead.
I understand that Sandy is bilingual. She speaks Bidenism.
Oh, boy.
Is that right, Fred? She can interpret something for us?
Yeah, I need an interpretation, Sandy.
Is this yesterday in
you
Pittsburgh?
You do need an interpretation.
I can imitate him. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Are you a junkie?
Here's cut number six. Here's the former vice president yesterday.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
I don't know what to say.
Clear as mud.
Well, you know what? Let me just say this. We all can mess up talking.
I never do. No. I have never. I'm a perfect man. The Bible says, if you manage to control your tongue.
Your nose is growing, Sandy, as you speak. Sandy's obviously making my point. We all, especially if you're in live talk radio, you messed up, and we can all misspeak. Yeah. There's no question about that. So, and we can all say things that maybe are exaggerated. So that's, everybody understands that. The president himself, misspeaks sometimes. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this is another representation that's happening on as we see it on a regular basis. By regular, I mean at least weekly. Mm-hmm. Where Joe Biden, the former vice president, speaks and you unintelligibly? Yes. And you can see there's slurs in his talk. Mm-hmm. There's incoherent sentences that are strung together that you go, what? What are you talking about? There are facts that are obviously way out of a line, and he states them anyway and doesn't correct himself.
What was the 100 years thing?
He's talking about COVID-19. It's a new virus. We didn't have it 100 years ago. I don't know what he's talking about there exactly, unless he's talking about not that this many people haven't died of any virus at all in the last 100 years, and he may be right about
that. Which is not true.
Yeah. I don't know. But listen to this once again. It's just, again, this is not to make fun of the guy. It's just to show you he is...
He's got
major issues.
He can't be president.
Go ahead, play that one more time.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Is he? And he was reading right there. I think he was reading he was reading a speech because when he finished, he walked off and didn't take questions, which has become his normal. He's not doing any sit-down interviews with anybody that he does a few friendly interviews here
Cardi
and there
B.
for a few minutes. Sandy, but he won't do a Chris Wallace Fox News interview.
Look, it's obvious that he's not capable. Right. It's obvious that I can tell you his handlers, I think one of his handlers is former chairman or chief of staff for John McCain. He's not writing tweets. When they say Biden tweets, it's not Biden tweeting, trust me. I mean, even if he were normal, most 77-year-old men are not sitting around tweeting, except for President Trump. But he's the exception. And the problem is, of course, his vice presidential candidate, Kamala Harris, is in full faculty.
Yeah.
And she just said, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Actually, she said this back in June, that what we're seeing on the streets is important. It's necessary. It's going to continue. And even after the election, it's going to continue. We need to get used to it, and we need to support it because it's important.
Is it true that she helped raise money to get the rioters out of prison in Minneapolis?
Yes, it is. Very true. Yeah.
Yeah, there were tweets yesterday that she that people had found and were sharing again. I have a question for Sandy. Talking about Biden and his mental faculties there, you know, President Trump's in his 70s as well, and everybody knows none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. But are you, Sandy, do you think we need to have more than one debate of the VP candidates?
Oh, I would be in favor of more than one. Absolutely. I think because the more they talk, you know, everybody can have a good day. I mean, it's like I always say, you know, like with kids, if you've got multiple children, if you have one that's a bad egg or one that's a good egg, it doesn't say you're a bad parent or a good parent. It's when you get to the second and third that you can really kind of reveal what kind of a parent you are. And it's true on the debates, too. Anybody can do well one time, but you need to get to know them. We need to actually see if there are layers of thinking there. For the vice presidential candidates and the so Chris, I have to ask you: are they saying only one with the vice presidential?
Yeah,
candidate?
There's only one debate between
the
VP candidate.
It?
Yeah, they had one between Pence and Tim Kaine. Biden and Palin had one back in the day in 2008. We only have one, but I've always been like, we need to have more than one, just because these people are a heartbeat away, and given the age of the two people we have running for president right now, I would be interested in a voter of figuring out where exactly you stand on the issues, assuming you get that 2 a.m. phone call.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. Let me ask you this, Sandy. What about these former Republicans? Or I say former, they're people that have been Republican, and now they're working against the president, supporting Joe Biden. I'm thinking of Kasich being one of them, the former governor of Ohio, who used to fill in for Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. You remember him as a conservative pundit. Then you have Colin Powell, and you have now George W. Bush has not, he's not supporting Biden, but you have there's a report today about Jeb Bush's consultants working to help Joe Biden. You had Cindy McCain, the former the late senator's wife, and there's these. I guess what I'm asking is, I could understand if you don't like President Trump personally because you're a Bush and you've been offended by things that he said back in the, you know, when they were. But there's a difference between just being silent or just being, I don't have anything to say, people will make up their minds, and being a Republican who's promoting, advocating, working for a socialist like Biden and the people that supporting him taking over the country. That just seems, you know what I'm saying? Why is that?
Let me go back.
$5,000 question.
Tim, do you remember way back when I first started working for you? This is not meant to. I had been in D.C. for a long time. And one of our constant refrains was I was always talking about how bad the Republicans were. And from your perspective, they weren't that bad. You didn't think because you didn't know what I knew. And I kept telling you how horrible they were. The leadership was really bad. Paul Ryan, I knew before, you know, when he was still Mr. Nice Guy, he wasn't a nice guy at all. And so what he did was not nice. He might have had a nice smile, but that's a very different thing.
But you lived and worked and met with these folks in Washington, D.C., and I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just had
the... And that's, you had the impression that most of the country being Republican meant something.
You knew the inside story.
Yes. And so what I saw was them constantly undermining and undercutting us in every way, almost at every turn. And yes, and our policies at AFA too, I saw them not go to...
Pro-family.
I saw them not care.
Right.
Not care. They'd campaign on
marriage
things.
Amendment,
whether it was... abortion. I saw them fail every time. It was disgusting to me. And so
establishment, GOP establishment.
Yes, and the consultant class. They are the worst. You say Jeb Bush's consultants. I'm telling you, and that's who's really helping with Joe Biden as well. They are. Some people would say, and I would agree, that in many cases they have for a long time not been that much different from the Democrats. They take certain positions to get elected, but they don't really mean
Colin Powell?
Colin Powell's been bad for a long time. He was an Obama supporter.
I know.
How could he support Obama, the socialist? But he did. Yeah. And so Tim, but yeah. here's another way to look at it. They, in some ways, are doing us a favor. Because if we should prevail in this election in a House, I mean, conservatives should prevail, we have a list now. We have great lists of who the deep state is. We've got national security officials.
That's a good point.
We've got, so thank you very much. Sign up. We want to know who you are. And then you will not be invited to the next party.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I could say, I'm not surprised by Colin Powell. He's been a Democrat and a Republican, worked for both presidencies, both parties. I understand that. I guess what I can't understand is somebody like General Powell, who is advocating for Joe Biden and promoting Joe Biden, knowing who the people are that Joe Biden surrounded himself with are anti-American.
Yes.
They're socialists. They're Marxist. And yet he's talking about, Powell is talking about restoring dignity to the White House with Joe Biden. And I'm just going, why don't you, if you don't like Trump, just say I don't like Trump and I'm just going to be neutral and or whatever. Or I like his policies better than I like Biden's. I think they're better for America, but I can't support. Anyway.
Well, think about it. He supported, again, Obama. Think about what Obama did with the Iranians, with the pile of cash, with the Iran deal. And Colin Powell was fine with that. So that tells us a lot about Colin Powell, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He may not have been the person we thought he was.
True. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, but I think there's a lot of these Republicans who are establishment Republicans who they just don't like President Trump.
No, they're part of the swamp.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. Or the consulting class that people don't hear about or read about, that Sandy's talking about, who we're talking about the swamp. These are the people who make a lot of money, whoever wins.
They were the
Republicans
ones.
Or Democrats.
And I'll tell you, the theme for them during the last couple of decades has been to Republican candidates, don't talk about those issues.
Right.
Don't run on that. You know, talk about lower taxes. And, you know, that's what that's going to get people fired up.
President Trump blew that wide open.
Yes, he did.
And I've never seen, Allison and I, my wife, we watched most all of the Republican convention last week, and we just were just amazed at how many of the speakers were Christians.
Yes.
And were bold about their testimony.
Yes.
I know.
And how many and how much time was spent advocating for the pro-life position. And you know that President Trump had to say, I'm good with all that. Go ahead.
Well,
and none of the other Republicans in the past that I can think of who ran for president, you're right. They wanted to put the Christians on at 11:30 at night.
That's right.
You know?
They'd play with them during the election cycle. And then once they got elected, you were not invited in the White House. That was true in the Bush White House, too.
Yeah. I had a good relationship
with them. And I had some things, but like, for women, I was president of Concerned Women for America. Yeah. I could not get a meeting with Laura Bush or her office. And instead, the people that went into Laura Bush's office were the same women's groups who had worked with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So that's how bad it was.
Right.
But I wanted to say, Tim, did you see the president in the middle between John, the black gentleman who was a bank robber, and he was arrested and went to prison?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. FBI agent? What a testimony.
But President Trump gave his testimony. He's standing in the middle and he says, John here, you know, committed armed robbery and went to prison and then had a life change and found Jesus Christ, made him Lord of his life. Mm. And then, I mean, the president is saying this.
Yes.
And through his life change, he met, I mean.
Yeah,
nobody does that.
I know.
Nobody does that.
I said back during the campaign 4 years ago, I said, and I meant this as a backhanded compliment, as they say, I said, Candidate Trump doesn't know enough to stay away from people like us.
Huh? It's true.
So he calls Robert Jeffress up on the stage. Doesn't he know that the media hates Robert Jeffress and he's a right-wing Christian wacko?
Mm-hmm.
And here's Trump calling him, come up here, Robert, come up here and pray for us.
Yeah.
And I'm going, he just didn't know enough not to identify with us.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, he did know who we were, and he doesn't care because he believes like we believe.
That's right.
So that's refreshing.
And nobody told all those speakers not to talk about their faith in Christ, and they did.
That's right.
How many
believers does he have surrounded himself with in the White House?
A lot of good people.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome, Tim.
Good to see you.
Glad
to have Sandy in studio.
Good to hear you, Chris.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Well,
go get you some
lashes.
More. What do you call it? Black roasted coffee or whatever it is. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issue.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.